You're listening to Consider This, episode 102, for April 6th, 2015.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, here, there, or anywhere, welcome to another round of conservative commentary that is respectful of your time, because I'm respectful of mine. See, self-interest can work to the benefit of all. I'm Doug Payton, that selfish interest, and you're listening to Consider This, politics and culture in 10 minutes or less. And what about you? Have you got something to say? We want to hear it. Just call 267-CALL-CT0 to say it, or write to considerthis@ctpodcasting.com to write it. As I've proved just recently on episode 100, the voicemail hotline really works. So knock yourself out. After calling me, of course. That's CT as in current trends. The state of Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. What it is, how it came to be, and how some politicians who lauded the concept 23 years ago have done quite the 180. That's coming up. Don't forget that you too can help support the podcast by shopping at Amazon via the link on the website. You pay the same prices, but when using the magical link, I get a small kickback or referral fee, if you will. Doesn't cost you a thing, and yet, I don't know, it's amazing. Give it a try. You have literally nothing to lose. The state of Indiana has come under fire for passing their version of the federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. RFRA, as it's called, was passed in response to court cases that eroded First Amendment protections of the exercise of religion. Religious freedom used to be judged on a case-by-case basis, considering whether each law had specific exemptions for religious groups. Charles Schumer, Democratic senator from New York, introduced a bill in 1993 to set a standard on how religious freedom cases should be considered, using the same standard that another First Amendment protection, freedom of speech, was adjudicated. I'll get to the details of that standard in a moment. But the bill passed the U.S. Senate 97-3, and by acclamation, by voice vote, in the House. Bill Clinton signed it on November 16, 1993. Today, that same action at the state level is being called bigoted by Democrats. States have been doing this ever since the Supreme Court decision said that the federal RFRA doesn't apply to the states. Most of the states that have one use language identical to the one Clinton signed. But while religious freedom used to be supported by Democrats, the rise of a particular protected class and reliable Democratic voting bloc changed all that. Homosexuals. Once again, as we have seen so many times, politics trumps everything else for the left, even, apparently, the Bill of Rights. The fear being stoked is that this will allow Christian businesses to turn away gays just for being gay. There are two links in the show notes to lists of frequently asked questions about the Indiana RFRA, and they explain, no, that sort of discrimination is not protected. If a Christian denies service to someone simply because they are gay, on the grounds that it's a sin according to Christian doctrine, well, you'd have a tough time proving those religious grounds in court. According to Christianity, we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. So that business owner would have to deny service to everyone, including him or herself. Participation, one way or another, in a same-sex marriage ceremony has been the typical cause of contention. And all of the examples that I've seen that have been taken to court are regarding business owners that would bake cakes, take pictures, or arrange flowers for a gay customer for any purpose other than a same-sex wedding ceremony. This is most definitely not discrimination against gays because they're gay. It is, however, a religious objection to a ceremony that the business owner does not wish to participate in. Let's be clear. The purpose of these laws based on the federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act is simple. When you go to court, you can claim freedom of speech in your defense. You might might not win, but it is something that you can claim and upon which you can make a case, and it must be taken into consideration. All RFRA does is ensure that you can claim freedom of religion, either individually or as a closely held corporation, as the Supreme Court has put it. And if you believe corporations aren't part of that freedom of religion, I wonder how you feel about corporations like, oh, the New York Times and CNN having freedom of speech. RFRA allows a person's free exercise of religion to be, quote-unquote, substantially burdened by a law only if the law furthers a, quote-unquote, compelling governmental interest, and in the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest. It does not invalidate all of Indiana's other ordinances about discrimination based on sexual orientation. You don't get to yell, RFRA, and get magically exempted from them. This is not open season on anyone, gay, Jew, woman, what have you. And the best proof of that is that none of the states or the federal government, for almost a quarter of a century, have gone down anything like a slippery slope. All opponents of Indiana's RFRA have are hypotheticals that have failed to materialize since 1993. The only discrimination so far has been against Christian business owners who would rather not participate in a specific ceremony, or in the case of the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case, not contribute to what they considered the taking of a life. This is not about gays. It's about marriage. It's not about women. It's about abortion. It's about religion and the free exercise thereof, in spite of the efforts of celebrities like Apple's Tim Cook or actor Ashton Kutcher to deflect blame and paint this as bigotry against individuals. It is denying a First Amendment protection that has been with us since the founding. And I know there are Christians who would bake a cake or take pictures of a same-sex wedding. If they're okay with that, more power to them. There are different ways to make a moral statement. All I'm saying is that the government doesn't get to decide how I act out my morality. Now, they may decide that my morals don't line up with community standards, but folks in Indiana can at least make the case that they otherwise could not, and the same case they could make today at the federal level. President Bill Clinton, speaking at the 1993 RFRA signing, and speaking about the Founding Fathers, said this, quote, "And one of the reasons they worked so hard to get the First Amendment into the Bill of Rights at the head of the class is that they well understood what could happen to this country, how both religion and government could be perverted if there were not some space created and some protection provided. They knew that religion helps to give our people the character without which democracy cannot survive." Close quote. Today, his party is now trying to sacrifice those protections on the altar of politics. I love the irony of that analogy, but I fear that they don't fully understand the God they're now serving. So then, I want to hear your thoughts on this, pro or con, or first pro, then con. Call me with your thoughts at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. Drop by the website at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, and you can comment on the show notes with other like and perhaps not so like-minded folks. Also at the website are links that you can click on to email me, tweet me, or comment on the Facebook or Google Plus pages. The show notes have links that I encourage you to read and share with your social media crowd. They include the aforementioned lists of frequently asked questions, as well as a transcript and video of the remarks Bill Clinton gave when signing the bill into law. I think just looking at that will make the irony meter of some folks go off the charts. Alternately, just share the webpage with the show notes and introduce your peeps to this podcast. The better the information we have, the better we can consider this.